Author Eleanor Cameron was passionate about what kids should read, expressing herself in both the children's books she wrote and as an early critic of children's literature. That passion ignited the imaginations of aspiring writers and raised the ire of one noted children's author. Jildy's Laura Kennedy has more with a local writer who reveals the woman behind the books in a new biography he hopes keeps Cameron from fading away out of memory.
Paul Allen was just 8 years old when he discovered the works of author Eleanor Cameron. He was perusing the stacks of the Bloomington Public Library when The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet, with its colorful cover and sci-fi bent, caught his eye.
That was the first book I remember not being able to put down. Like, I had to finish it. So
it was
there.
Cover to cover.
Yeah. So I laid there in bed that night and read the whole thing.
All through the night?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure your parents weren't too happy about that.
I don't know if they knew. But it was, yeah, and it's not a short book. So I think that was also a blossoming of my reading skills. Like, it was probably the first time that I was able to do that with a book, too.
So what was it about Eleanor Cameron that really caught your imagination? Was it her storytelling? Was it the fact that it had more of a sci-fi bent? What was it about Eleanor Cameron that excited you as a reader?
The plot of the book is these two boys build their own rocket and get to take it to this undiscovered planet nobody's ever been to before except the inhabitants.
Which is, of course, something we all want to do.
Yeah, and it's a very kid-empowering book because they have help from sort of this magical grandfatherly sort of being called Mr. Bass. But for the most part, they do it all themselves. And as a kid, that was just something that really spoke to me, that, like, you know, you can do this yourself. And then they have this great little adventure while they're there, and that aspect spoke to me as well.
Well, you haven't left Eleanor Cameron behind. You've written a biography about her, but you didn't set out to do that. Actually, you thought, well, I'm just going to do a little reading on her, learn more about her as an author. First of all, why did you decide to do that after all these years?
I'm teaching 7th grade reading intervention, and I would introduce myself to my classes by saying, here are some books that meant a lot to me throughout my life. And it was sort of a way for them to get to know me, but also to show the importance of reading. And I would always talk about that book. And one of my students raised his hand and said, have you read the other books by Eleanor Cameron? And I said, no. And he said, why not?
He gotcha.
And I said, that's a good question. So that set me off on starting to just look more into her career. I'd known there were other books, but I didn't really know the extent of it. So I just started poking around and was surprised that even with the internet now, still not much out there about her. There was a little bit more, but not that much. And so I just started trying to track down her books and just learn about who she was.
So you started digging up information about her.
Yeah.
But you had, at that point, still no intention of writing a biography. Where did the idea for a biography come from?
Part of it was the dearth of information out there. There's nothing there. And I thought, well, this is, you know, it's rare you find undiscovered country. I feel like, especially in someone who published 20 books and was fairly prominent in her field, that nobody has really tackled this. And that was sort of like a surprise to me. And so I went, just started doing some deep digging on the internet, and I found in one of my searches, just sort of randomly, not even looking for this, the Eleanor Cameron papers listed.
It's like an archive.
Yeah, an archive. So it said, you know, letters, manuscripts, various other ephemera from her career had been donated to the University of Minnesota. At that time, I was living in St. Paul, so it was a mile from my house where this archive was. So it was a sign. Yeah, it was one of those serendipitous moments that, you know, if that hadn't been so close with having my youngest son was 6 months old, there was no way that I was probably going to travel and do an extended study somewhere else in the country. But the fact that it was so close allowed me to go start going through those 15 boxes worth of items at the Curling Collection at the University of Minnesota. It was somewhat organized, but clearly nobody had really gone through it since her death.
So, Paul, what made Eleanor unique as a children's author?
One of the main things was the range of what she wrote. Her first children's book was a science fiction book, and that's The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet, and then she started doing sequels to that. But she pretty quickly moved away into more fantasy-oriented, less science fiction, more fantasy, and then even toward time travel sort of books, and then toward realistic fiction based on her own childhood, still for children, but sort of drawing from her own childhood experiences. And then the other thing is the fact that she was a critic as well. So she developed in the mid-60s into children's, she started writing essays about children's literature.
And that was unusual for somebody who actually writes in the genre to be a critic of it as well.
Yeah, not something that happens very often. And it wasn't even, at that time, a genre that was being taken very seriously in an academic sense. It was just beginning to be that way. And so she was very much on the forefront of taking children's literature seriously as a scholarly pursuit. And she started to write these essays and travel around to conferences and deliver them. And it ended up in a book in 1969 of essays called The Green and Burning Tree, which a lot of professors and children's literature experts now point to as sort of a place where they first started to take children's literature seriously as an academic pursuit.
Well, her son described her as a fireball. She was not a woman who held back on her opinions, and she could be critical of other children's authors like Roald Dahl. She criticized Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Tell me about why she did that.
Well, she came from a very traditional view of children's literature. She wasn't a traditional person in her own personal views, but her view of children's literature was that the classics were what mattered most, and that teachers and parents should be reading the classics to their children. So it galled her somewhat to see that a book like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which she regarded as very like lightweight, she called it tasteless. She felt that that it was just a mean-spirited book, and she felt that teachers should not be reading this to children in their classes. And
so it was a book that sort of set a bad example, and that kids shouldn't have that.
That was part of it. I mean, I think she was okay, and this was what kind of got lost and what happened subsequently. There was this furor in the pages of the Horn Book magazine about, it was basically her versus Dahl and people taking sides.
People went after her for this.
Yeah, and they went after her and kept going after her, even in the years since. That kind of became how she was known, as the woman who tried to take down Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But the nuance of her point was that she's okay with kids reading it themselves and finding it on their own, but that adults should set a better example for the kids in terms of what they're reading to them. And it was really a three-part essay that she had written for the Horn Book, and that was the first part. And there were two others that didn't talk about Roald Dahl or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at all. It was sort of, she had a tendency to start with a straw man in her arguments, so she would set something up and then knock it down in the beginning, and then kind of go on to what her more positive points were from there. So it got blown out of proportion in some ways, but she never regretted it because she loved that it created this great debate.
What is her lasting impact, do you think, Paul?
Probably the biggest two things would be The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet has had a huge impact on other authors, and I found several who would say that book as a kid just lit my imagination and made me think about building my own rocket and led me toward telling my own stories. And so people like Rodman Philbrick and Dan Yacirino and Lois McMaster Bujold, all of whom are authors now and fairly well known in their fields. And that book inspired a lot of readers. And her other books to a lesser extent, but I've started a website and a Facebook page and a Twitter account to try to connect with fans, and I get all sorts of different books that people come to me and say, this was my first one that just really spoke to me. So that part of it, and then her work as a critic as well, just trying to be part of, or being part of that group that started to bring legitimacy to that field.
What do you hope to achieve with your biography, Paul?
Well, my main goal is to kind of reintroduce her into the conversation of children's literature. I think she kind of got forgotten, partly because she died in 1996 and her son died very soon after, and she had no other family left, and there was nobody to keep her legacy going. I feel like I'm kind of picking that back up in a way and putting her back out there for people to discover, and I really hope they would go back to her books and her main ideas, that children's literature is a way to build empathy in people. She was especially passionate about the environment and preserving the natural world, and she thought that those messages could come across in children's books, not in a heavy-handed way. She didn't like books that had like, and this is the moral, but she liked books that, you know, helped kids see a different perspective and, you know, change their behavior because of that.
That's Paul Allen, author of Eleanor Cameron, Dimensions of Amazement, which is currently available from the University Press of Mississippi. I'm Laura Kennedy.
Since 1992, the Eleanor Cameron Award has been given to authors who achieve excellence in children's science fiction.